Well, good morning. It's been a joy being here already. The singing and what Aiden shared, I've been blessed already. We're going through Proverbs, as most of you know, and I am assigned Proverbs 27, 11 through 15. I'm going to read it, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go through verse by verse. It says, "My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege and opportunity that we have to gather to seek your face. And Lord, as we look at these few verses that are assigned, Father, I don't understand everything about these verses. Some of these verses, you know, that I've struggled with. I don't know what all that is there or what even to share. And I just ask, Father, that your Spirit would come and quicken these words to our heart and lives, Lord. They are dead unless you come and quicken them. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you just do a work in each one of our hearts. Keep my lips, Lord. I just desire to be your servant here and be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11, it says, "My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me." My son is, we're not just going to say son this morning. I think it could be son or daughter. Because I believe that if you don't have a son and you have a daughter, I think it applies as well. But I want to notice, who is he talking to? He's talking to a young person, somebody younger than himself, his son. And he's calling his son to be wise. And why is he calling his son to be wise? It's kind of interesting to me. You know, people oppose us a lot, and they don't want to hear what we have to say. But you know, when one of your children is standing by, it will either strengthen what you said or then take away, according to how your child is. And I think that is exactly what he's saying here. My son, be wise and make my heart glad. And the reason is that I may answer him that reproacheth me. So that I have a good answer to give him that is speaking against me. I would like to have some participation this morning from the young people, especially. What could you do that would be wise? What could you do that would be wise? So your father could answer rightly when someone is reproaching him. Anyone is. And I don't think we need to wait until the reproaching is going on before we act wisely. I think what he's saying is to act wisely now, all the time. What are some things that you and I can do that would make that stronger, that would be wise, so that what your father is saying has some real strength to what he's saying? You know, if you're saying you believe one way And your son is standing there and he's doing completely something else than what you're teaching this person that is reproaching you. What you just said, you might as well forget. So what are some things that you and I can do that would be wise today? So when we have that, when our father is being reproached, or what would be some things that we could do that would strengthen what he said? Does anyone have anything? David. Follow what he teaches. Amen. Obedience. I had to think of obedience. Levi. Learn in silence and be respectful. Very good. You know, the list can go on and on. I had to think like Daniel shared about obedience. You know, we learned in 1 John, as Alan was teaching out of 1 John, that we only love God as much as we keep His commandments, don't we? So, according to Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So, you know, if you are obeying in what your parents want you to do, whoever's reproaching will notice this. And it can give, you know, the answer that we give him, when our young people are close by, it will either mean something to what I say, or it will take away what I just said. So he's talking to young people here. How about our speech? Now, Colossians 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And that doesn't just go for young people, it goes for all of us. But our speech, the things that we say, you know, that people are listening. What is coming out of your mouth? Is it the opposite of what your dad is telling the man that is reproaching him? Or does it? Are you on the same page as your father? Here's a few other things that I think that we can be doing. It says, as Jesus taught, to go the second mile, to go beyond what is required of us as young people, to go the second mile, to be a servant, know God's word. Here's another one, I think that, on how we act with our siblings, to love your siblings and to serve them as well. That will have a tremendous impact on how your father can speak into someone's life. It says, "Make my heart glad." There's no greater joy on earth besides knowing Christ than if our children are doing and following Him. So if there's some, you know, you might not feel like you have much to say to someone, but your life speaks volumes. You might be saying more than what you realize. Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5 say, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And I think that goes right along with what we're saying here in verse 11. Verse 12, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Prudent means to be crafty, cautious, circumspect, careful. And a cautious man will see evil coming a lot of times before it actually happens. Or he will take heed to something where the simple will not. And is out of the way when it happens. The word "hideth" simply means absent. This exact same verse is found in Proverbs 22, verse 3. He said it twice in Proverbs. The exact same verse. I had to think of Noah. He was a prudent man, wasn't he? He was wise. Where was he at when trouble came? He was hiding in the ark, wasn't he? And I think that every one of them could have been in there if they'd have listened, but the simple didn't listen. They were destroyed. The word simple means silly, foolish, or easily deceived. I had to also think of Moses. When he was before Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh, this was before before the hill came, it's in Exodus 9. I'll read a few verses out of Exodus 9. He was talking to Pharaoh there, and he told him what he should do. This was after some of the other things happened, starting in verse 19. I'm amazed that, I guess I didn't really realize it before, but he told him what all he should do. He was telling Pharaoh. He says, "Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them and they shall die." He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle to flee into houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. What I wanted this out of these verses was how Moses told Pharaoh to get your servants, your cattle, out of the field. And those that loved, how does it say? And those that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants in the field. So we have some prudent people and we have some silly people again. Some simple people. The ones who were prudent listened to what was told to them, and they got their cattle and their servants in, and the simple ones that didn't regard, that were deceived, left them out in the field, and it happened just like Moses said it would happen. And the same can happen to us. We have verses all over the Bible that warn us of certain things. What do we do about them? Are we prudent or are we simple? Verse 13. Again, the same verse is found in Proverbs 20, verse 16. And I struggled over this verse. I labored long, and I'm not sure what it is I'm still not sure that I fully understand what it is saying. It says, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." I've read that verse I don't know how many times this past week, and I'm not sure that I understand it now yet. But it seems this man was in charge of something, somewhere. Maybe a city gate, I don't know. And a stranger, the word stranger is a word that is, this man was just passing by, and he probably came in for a night of rest, came into the city with, to stay for the night. And the guy that was at the city gate, this is just kind of my own thinking here. Maybe you guys can tell me what it really means. But it seems like there's the garment that he was given, his garment as an agreement that he will be safe and he will take care of him, or I'm not exactly sure what. But there was the word surety means it was something secure. So it says that, okay, let me go on. He would return it when he would leave. He was doing his job. The stranger, he's keeping this stranger in check. Now, it says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. And it seems like this man is, I don't know if you could say a double-minded man, or I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but it seems like he let this one stranger go, and then here comes a strange woman, and he is either enticed by her or something, and he's not doing the same thing for the stranger as he is for the same woman. So they're asking that you take his garment, that agreement that they had between the stranger and him, to take his garment away, showing that he's not trustworthy as he made it sound to the stranger. I'm not sure if that all made sense or not. But it seems like this woman that was, the strange woman means an adulteress. Yeah, I'm not sure. Somehow there's he was not doing to the one that he was doing to the other. And you take he's saying to take the garment away. In other words, the surety, the security that he had left for the stranger, to take it away because it shows that he's not trustworthy or something. I'm not exactly sure. I'd like to hear some thoughts. Because I struggled long and hard over these verses. But I think maybe in Proverbs 20, verse 16 is where the other verse is found. We'll read that one and the one right behind it, and it might give us a little bit of insight of what it means. It says, take his garment that is a surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. It says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I don't know if that verse 17 just kind of explains what verse 16 is saying or not, but it almost seems like it. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I'm going to let it at that, and I'd be glad to hear what your thoughts would be on it. And verse 14 is another one of these verses. Says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. And until you break all the words down and you see what they mean in the Hebrew, you really have a hard time getting to see what is actually in here. So the word blesseth, it means to bless, to congratulate, to blaspheme, or even means to kneel. And the word friend can basically mean anyone that you know. The word loud is most often translated great in the Hebrew. It means much, more, degree, or even social status. And the word voice means sound, voice, noise, and lightness. Early in the morning means what it says, except it means to do again and again and again. So as we look at these word meanings and try to put it together, I think we might make some sense out of it. So I made two little stories here that hopefully will make it into our everyday living. They're just short little stories. Mom and Dad are planning to go see a business operation in a few weeks, and one of the children wants to go along really bad. So every morning he comes down early before the other children and praises them and just goes on and on. And then at the end, he also says how he would like to go along. And by the way, there's only one child that is going to have the opportunity of going along. Every morning he's doing this. Tell me, what chances does he have of going along? Maybe you're not like I am. It seems like, you know, it's almost an annoying thing. It's almost an annoying thing. It's all he knows. He's trying to get his own way. He's not preferring others. There's some pride there and ungratefulness. My other story is, it could be in the business setting. I have a job that I'm doing, supposed to be doing, and there's something else that opens up that I think would be a little better than what I have. So every morning, the first thing in the morning, I get, maybe even get there a little early, and I just kind of, I meet with the boss and praise him for all the things that he's doing right and all the things that he does. But my attitude is that I would really like, you know, this job opening that is coming up. And I would do this for a couple of weeks, just again and again. Do you think I would get the job? I'm not saying a person can't, but it's just, it's the picture that it's giving is that he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, the picture that it's giving is you're almost, you're being very annoying. There's something behind it that you want for yourself. It's not something that you're doing because you're blessed by the person. It's something you're doing to get something for yourself. Because it says, it shall be counted a curse to him. It shall be counted against him. Verse 15. A continued dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. How do you explain this? You know, if it's raining and you hear this continuous drip, 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 you can take it for so long, but eventually you have to go see what's dripping. Eventually you have to go see if you can't fix what is being annoying. I had to think of a smoke alarm when the battery's low and it starts. That's something that I can't hardly stand. I have to figure out where it's coming from and what I have to find a new battery to stick in there so it's quiet. It's very annoying. We have to do something about it. But a contentious woman, it's not that easy, is it? Contentious means brawling, contention, or quarrelsome. Always something wrong. And I will say that, you know, sometimes my wife has to remind me to fix something more than one time. And there's a difference. That's not necessarily a being contention. There is a difference there. There's a difference between being reminded and being nagging. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being reminded. When a woman is contentious, she's not grateful. She's not grateful. And she's probably not submissive. I'm thankful for each one of the sisters that we have at church. The godly lives that you have. And I know that there can be times where, you know, you can come across in the wrong way, but, you know, when something needs to be fixed, you can kind of sometimes we can get a little aggravated. I know I can if
if I want to see something done and it doesn't happen, I can be a little nagging. But let's be grateful. I don't just think it's just talking about a woman. I think there can be also be men who are contentious in the home. Are we grateful for our wives? Do we show her of a better way she could have done it? Do we tell her when her food is good? Or do we just say something when she burns it or something doesn't turn out right? You know, it can also be parents to the children. We can always be nagging our children. And our children can also always be nagging us at times. It can happen both ways. So I don't think this verse is just talking about a woman. I know it says that, but it can fit each one of us. In closing, I'm going to read Psalms 133, verse 1. It says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is. It says for brethren, but I'm going to say for families to dwell together in unity. God bless you.